Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is that everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. I was asking you, like, right before when the show started, like, well, how's everything? Are you crazy? And what's happening? And you were explaining to me your ride home. So you might want to share it with our listeners.
Well, actually, before I get into the ride home, Cindy, I think I may need you to drop off and call back in. Because for whatever the reason, your voice is sounding very, very computerized, it's sputtery, and I'm not hearing you too well, and I'm not sure if that's the same for our listeners.
Okay, and I can't hear you well either, so let me call you back in, okay?
All right, you call me back in. I'm going to tell our listeners about
my your story.
And then I'll tell you later, okay? So you drop off and let me tell our listeners about that. So anyway, guys, hi, how are you guys doing? Cindy is going to be calling right back in just a moment, but we were talking before the show, and obviously it is a crazy time right now. There's been a lot of social distancing. There's been a lot of people, out of work and things like that. Layoffs are starting to happen, so it's a pretty scary time. And Cindy was asking me whether or not I was able to stay home from my job or work from out of the house, because sometimes that is a luxury that I get in non-pandemic climate. And I was telling her that I do have the option to stay home and that sometimes I go, into the office and what have you. Anyway.
This does not sound better to me, so let me call in from my cell phone, okay?
Okay. All right, so we're still trying to get through some technical difficulties with Cindy here. So, usually, as I was saying, when I go into my office, I live out east, and I have the luxury and this gorgeous, gorgeous access of Ocean Parkway at my disposal, where I don't have a lot of traffic and where I get to ride right into my Merrick office on Ocean Parkway, and I get to see the beach, and it's lovely. And then on my way in today, I'm going on Ocean Parkway, and right as I'm about to merge onto the Meadowbrook, which is at the same intersection as Bay Parkway, for those of you who know Long Island area, I see a big sign, one of those traffic signs where they tell you whether or not there's construction or delays ahead, one of those, and it says, close windows, COVID-19 test area. So needless to say, I double close every window that I have, and I think we have Cindy again.
Because
Andrew
just said you're the one who sounds bad.
I'm the one that sounds bad.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Andrew just messaged that he could hear me fine, but he can't hear you. Like you're breaking up.
Okay. So now, Cindy, we're going to reverse it. We're going to reverse the chain here. We are going to, as usual, we're going to go into the first call. Person's been waiting the longest. I'm going to hang up, and then I'm going to call back in while you're taking our first caller. So here we go.
Hello?
Hello, 4790. You are on the air.
Yes.
Hi, hey, Cindy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear Cindy, but the first lady, I think you're the one that's breaking up. I'm not sure what your name is, though.
Nicole is breaking up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So anyway, you've been waiting a while. You must have something on your mind. What would you like to talk to us about?
Oh, I just wanted a love reading. Whatever you pick up the sign with me.
Okay, let me see what's going on. And what was your name?
My name is Tarika.
Okay, and where are you calling from?
Wisconsin.
Oh, so wow,
far away. Are you as crazy mm-hmm. there with the coronavirus as we are here in New York?
They are. Every day, it just they just buckle it up a little tighter. So now they're forcing everybody to stay inside. Yeah, there's not a lot of traffic on this road. Everything was closing down one by one. I was getting kicked out of businesses. We had to close down. So it was just it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy for sure. And actually, I'm going to confess that I was supposed to go away next week to Cancun, and I normally would give Nicole a long warning about that. And for some mm-hmm. reason, Spirit kept saying, don't say it yet. Don't tell her yet that you're taking on next week. Don't tell her yet. So, no, we'll be on the air next week because I'm not going anywhere. So,
I know. Everything's grounded. I heard everything's grounded. Oh, my gosh.
No, exactly. So what I'm seeing for you, first of all, is you have a very good – can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, good. Because you have a very good five-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours. There's some big changes in the cards for you. Are you ready for change?
I'm ready for the change.
Because these are good changes, okay?
Good.
Good changes. And that includes, some changes in your love life. Do you have a love life now?
It's non-existent.
That's what I thought, because I didn't see any showing up here. And I'm like, well, I hope she doesn't have one, because I'm going to tell her she's going to have a new one. So I'm glad I'm glad to hear that you don't have one, because the biggest change will be a wonderful relationship coming up. And what I could see here is you haven't always picked the best men in your life. You know that about yourself.
No, right. I have not.
Okay. Okay, so and one of them's still showing up here. I don't know if he's the father of your children or, someone that you still or just recently got rid of, but there's one still showing up here. Are you trying to get rid of everybody from your past?
I'm trying, but this one's a little stubborn. So I'm just praying that God will send me somebody whose energy is a little bit more stronger and more stable than this one, so I can be easy to just, because I can't do it by myself, apparently.
No, and he's not going to let go of you, because you're what we call the good to a fault person, the giver, the one who's the crap taker and enabler who, cleans up the mess that everybody makes. And so, of course, he's not going to want to get rid of you, but and he will continue to persist in your life for a little while, but the universe kind of wants you to close the door on him. Are you trying to do that?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. If the universe ain't seeing it, then I don't know. And there's something else a part of me. I don't know.
He's just not hearing it, though, okay?
Yeah.
This man is just not hearing it. And what I see is within the next 6 months to a year, let's hope we get out of lockdown. But the point is, there's another wonderful person showing here in the cards for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hardworking person of his word, very loyal, not a boy. You're not going to have to be mommy to a boy anymore. I think you've had it with that. Okay, this is a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finally.
And have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like? Have you, and put it in positive terms if you haven't done it, sober, strong, your best friend, hardworking, and because that's what's going to manifest for you, love.
Okay.
You also have a father figure who's passed. Do you know who that is to you, who wants to talk to you?
That's on the father side, right? Yeah.
Okay. Who wants to talk?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay. This could be one of your grandfathers, but he seems to know you. Did you know one of your grandpas well?
That's the one that knew me. I didn't know my other one, but I knew him.
Okay. The one
I
that
my
knows
father's
you.
Father.
Is, yep. And he's the one saying, we have a soulmate ready for you. You just got to get rid of the deadbeat over there, okay?
Okay.
And he said, we can't do that for you. We can bring you someone new, but, we just want you to kind of realize that person's never being fixed, and that has to end. But you're also got a lot of worry cards showing up here. Are you by in nature a worrier? Because there's a lot of worry cards showing up.
Yeah, that's just who I am, and so I tend to over budget and foresee stuff that could happen. So I,
okay, because we want
that
you
type
to
of person.
Like not worry so much. We want you to practice the laws of attraction. I want you to see yourself 1 year from now and 5 years from now in a wonderful relationship with money being good, friendships, happiness. And keep seeing that rather than, because you have a lot of what-ifing. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens?
Yeah, exactly. That's me.
You hear that what-if word constantly. And that's a form of OCD, and it's not all bad. OCD isn't all bad. It makes us good at our job. I love OCD doctors. They count sponges in and out. They know what they're doing. But in our own life, that constant negative what-if, and it's always a what-if it's cancer. What if I don't find love? What if I don't have enough money? What if I don't get a job? It's never what if I win the lotto, okay? It's always negative. And I want you to work on that a little bit. When you hear those negative thoughts, because they come without programming, and I'm telling you right now, everybody is a level 3 OCD at least, okay? So it's a scale of 1 to 10. But right now, everybody's OCD is like a 6 from everything that's going on, and we're like, it's borderline. We're going to all be nuts. And so, you know, trying to visualize, and, you know, I'm sure you're picking up on all the crazy energies in the air, so that's not helping you any, but I want you to just start visualizing yourself with a great relationship and a lot of happiness, because you have really good cards. The only negative cards are, you know, your ex who's still showing up, or the one that should be your ex that's still showing up here, because he really can manipulate you. That's what I see in these cards.
Yes, and he can. Oh, my gosh.
And push
worse.
All your guilt buttons and make you feel bad, okay?
Yeah, and, he does. Oh, my
and
God.
And isn't it funny
worse.
How you feel bad and he doesn't, okay? Like,
no.
So he's a true
unfixable.
He's a narcissist. We call them unfixables because we define them as narcissists and people who manipulate, who are highly judgmental and not accountable for their behaviors. Okay.
Exactly.
He ain't never changing in this lifetime, okay? So, you know, he would have to have a miracle to change, and he is not earning any miracles. So he's a negative, and your worrying is negative, but also because you're an OCD, and we have a lot of OCDs out there today. Everybody's an OCD right now, and OCD is like the devil. They know they don't like change, so you tend to stay in jobs you don't like too long, in relationships that are not good because you don't like the change. And what I'm telling you here is the change is good change, and you know just. And your grandpa is saying you had a lot of courage when you were little. You also have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her?
I knew one of my grandmothers on my mother's side. And yes,
right,
I knew
because your mom's mom is saying when you were a little girl, you had a lot of courage. So what's the cure for OCD? The same cure for alcoholism. Okay, one day at a time, what's on our plate today, let go and let God. And also, how about mustering up some courage? You know, and And yes, muster up your courage. There's nothing bad in your cards. You know, there's love coming. Money looks okay. You know, looks good. Right now, I'm sure you're a little worried with everything that's happening right now. But this too shall pass, okay? And the only card that looks like it could sabotage all this happiness is Mr. X, because, you know, he's going to push all your guilt buttons, all your fear buttons, all your, you know, you're lucky to have me buttons. And you have to just realize he's never going to change. And how long have you been with him? Because relationships work in five-year cycles. How long have you known him?
Oh, no. We are in the same soul group. He lives up the street from where I was born. So we know each other all our lives.
Okay. So isn't that funny? And how old are you
it's
now?
Very difficult. I'm 43.
Okay, so you've known him at least 40 years, okay? Like
at least.
So, you know, when he was young, and the reason I ask your age is because, you know, when he was prior to the age of 25, there was a chance he could be fixable, but he's pretty much past the stage of fixability now. And
that's
because
what
he's
I know.
And I love the way you use. He's part of your soul group. I love that because a lot of people don't even know what a soul group is. Soul groups are part of our soul family that we incarnate with in many lifetimes. You asked to meet him again over God's dead body, kind of saying to you, excuse me, we don't know how to fix him in like 10 more lifetimes,
you better give me a reason why this time will be any different. And you felt like, well, I could, in this lifetime, I'll be able to support myself, and he'll know I can leave him if he's not good, so he won't want me to leave him, so he'll fix himself. That was a nice theory, but it isn't happening. So,
no,
you know, you're never going to stop loving him if that's what you're trying to do. We don't
that's what I'm trying
out,
to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to see myself out of the style. I can't. It just blows back up in my face. Bigger
okay.
than next time.
So we don't fall out of love with people. We fall out of liking. And I think you've fallen out of liking him. And that is, you know, that's what's happened.
That's
you can go on loving
okay.
him, but you have to love him like he died. You love him with your heart, soul, mind. Just don't put your body in the same place with him, because it's his
right.
body, his ego, that's highly flawed. And I know you've seen his soul when he was little, and you've seen the goodness of his soul. But
yeah, exactly. I really have. Oh my gosh.
I know you have, and that's what makes you keep hoping you'll get that glimpse of that soul again.
Yes.
Probably not in this
How
lifetime.
Do you know? Yeah.
I know, because this is very common with soulmate relationships, and so you're not going to see that again. And as a relationship expert, I would say, I cannot bring this relationship back up to soulmate, even though it once was. 45%
yeah.
of people are offered a soulmate. 1% maintain it. God even let you meet him from the time he was born, practically, so that you would have all these years from the beginning to influence him to be good. He was always a Dr.
Yep.
Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He has a good side and a bad side. And when you were younger, you brought out the good side in him. But in this culture, 30 and over, they're joining the unfixable side, people, because crime and bullshit and narcissism pays in this culture. So maybe
it's,
with a different culture, maybe you could have been more of an influence. But at this
yeah.
point, he's made a decision to join the unfixable side. And
yeah.
it's painful. And as a relationship expert, I'm going to tell you, I can't bring this back up to soulmate because I can't fix him. The best thing to shut the hell up for the next 20 years and drop dead young, because this guy will ultimately be the death of you. And
yeah, I already know. He already gave me a heart attack.
Yeah, why am I not surprised? Because the number
yeah.
one way older souls, you know, they'll drop dead, they'll get a heart attack. Someone literally breaks their heart. And this man has already broken your
yeah,
heart
exactly.
so many times. So,
so
your wake-up call was your heart attack. You're very young to have already had a heart attack. It was a wake-up call to this man is killing you. And in your past life, when he was your husband, you died much younger than you should have. You probably weren't more than 45. It looks like you
mm-hmm.
had a stroke. A stroke is blowing your brains out. Because in
yeah.
that lifetime, you loved him and you couldn't fix him. But you asked to meet him again over God. Because, what, are you crazy? But you
he came back with no
him.
Brains, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
he's your greatest teacher. You learned you can't fix people, okay? And
yeah.
so, and you have to learn to punish people, hold people accountable. So your intention in leaving him is not to hurt him. It is self-love, it is self-preservation, and it's to teach and instruct him enough is enough. So
right.
stop being a great enabler and a great crap taker and a martyr and a donkey person
mm-hmm.
who does the work of eight people. And start
yeah.
with self-love and love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. If your daughter were with a man like this, what would you tell her?
That would be a problem.
You would tell her, run to the hills. You tell her, I'm going to kill him if he doesn't leave you alone. And
I want to take all that.
So realize
okay.
I'm giving you the same advice. So you're
right.
going to do us a favor and call in a few weeks and let us know if you're finding you're able to break away from him a little more, knowing that you don't have to stop loving him, knowing what your intention is. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't let go of this one, it's, the universe is going to be reluctant to bring another soulmate in. So
okay.
we got to let go of this one. And thank you for sharing our story with, you know, your story with us today, because I think we have
problem.
A lot of listeners in the same boat.
I think they
are. You are. But,
yeah.
And you found the right radio show for you, because you this is a soulmate, and I'm an expert on soulmates, and I know how hard it is to leave a soulmate. But
mm-hmm.
soulmates have a contract that says, if I am not helping you heal, grow, and evolve, and if you are not helping me heal, grow, and evolve, then we have to terminate the contract in this lifetime. And that's what God's asking you to do, you
mm-hmm.
know, to to end it in this lifetime. And it's going to be painful, and you're going to mourn for it. It's going to feel like a death. It's going to feel like somebody died. And you're just not wanting to pull that plug. It's like this relationship's on a life support system, and you don't want to let it go because you don't want to do the mourning. But the sooner you let it go, and then comes a period where anything you want is yours, including a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you. Okay?
Okay.
So call in again and let us know how you are, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Okay, thank you for having me. God bless you.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Now, Nicole, I want to kill you because I'm on my cell phone and I can't stand to do a show on the cell phone. You know?
I didn't know.
You know,
I had no idea.
It's like, it throws me off a
listen,
bit. You know?
Listen,
you,
Karen is on right now. I can pick Karen up right now. We can bullshit for
okay,
like 5 minutes.
You
can call
back
in the middle line.
I'm going back to my other phone, okay? All right, because already I have to do social distancing with readings all day. People have been across the room. I just
well, but wait a minute. I have a question,
I
though. Well, wait a minute. Actually, before you even do that, okay? You know, I have another question. You prefer the landline, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Why don't you take the cell phone that is clearly portable over to the landline, dial in while simultaneously on the cell phone, and then seamlessly switch calls?
Thank you, dear. And I'll tell you why, because I'm already unglued from social distancing. Anybody who's had a reading with me knows we sit at a little table next door. No, my chair is across the room. They're over the other side of the room. I'm already sanitizing the house 18 times a day. But it's like, I can't take it. I want my other phone.
All right. I'm going to go pick up Karen then.
Okay.
Okay. And she's going to be under the gun because she doesn't know that
okay,
I'm going to pick her up. I just announced that now. So
okay.
I'm waiting for you.
And if anybody wants to talk to us, please press 1. Because
press
you don't
the number
know
1.
If you want to talk to us. Unless you press
yes,
1.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
You get Karen.
All right. Cool, Cindy. So I'm going to go pick up Karen. Unless she hung up. No, there she is. Okay. Get off the phone, Cindy.
Okay.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm putting you under the gun right now because...
Did you get my message?
I did get your text message. That's why I figured, hey, you know,
okay.
Where the hell
okay,
were you
cool.
when I was telling Cindy to call in 10,000 times?
I was laughing.
I got none of those messages then, so...
I was laughing
yeah.
at you.
Yeah, well, because you know what? And I was on the phone just before that. And when I was on the phone just before that, nobody complained that they couldn't hear me. So I assumed that I was okay. But how are you making out in this craziness these days, huh?
Well, we just finished work. We had to go in for the 3 days and plan. And we start Monday
okay.
remote learning from home. So we'll see how it goes.
Good for you. Good for you.
Just at our school, we have the, you know, K-5, and they don't have computers.
Yep.
It's going to be really hard. So we feel bad. We gave them... some books to take home. We had the parents come pick it up, and we gave them assignments that they could check in once a week through email and try to get something done.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a
well,
lot,
listen, you
know.
You know
they read every night.
I always say that it's – yeah, you know, listen. I mean, I always say that it's important that, you know, learning should not just be a school thing. You know, it should
right.
be an all-the-time thing. There's teachable moments all the time, everywhere,
right.
you know. And, you know, parents and adults alike – you know, and children alike, you know, should really kind of embrace that and say, okay, you know, if I'm not going to be in school, let me learn something. Let's not let the mind go to mush. So Cindy actually
right.
just called back in. So I am going to try to loop her in here. And then
Karen, and thank you for sharing us what people, teachers are doing. And yes, I didn't cancel anyone coming here as long as they're not sick. And I've been doing the CDC protocol. Next week, I was going on vacation, so I don't have anyone scheduled to come in. I am doing some phone readings, but next week, I'm just not having anybody come because I want to have my vacation a little bit, too. I'm going to have my staycation, okay? But it seems like the universe knew what was going on because they sure arranged for me to have, not to have me put in the dilemma of having people come or not come. So, and also...
Do you think, Kenny, do you think it's going to last? We'll go back to school, you think, in April, or do you think it's going to last till June, like everybody's saying?
You know, right now it doesn't look so promising to go back in April. I'm hoping things change,
me
but that's why they have to have something set in place a little better.
And and I'm not going to mention what event canceled for you and me, but the universe conspired to cancel that. And I'm beginning to wonder if someone wasn't going to be there with coronavirus, okay? Because it seemed, you know, weird. So after that, the whole world canceled. So very weird.
It's true. Yeah.
Very weird. Okay, so we're going to try to get that other caller, Rosie, who seems to be nervous about the coronavirus and everything happening. So why don't you fill me in with her?
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh, love you, Karen.
Bye, Karen. Love you, Karen. All right. So, yeah, so we're going to go out to Rosie. Now, when Rosie, Cindy is in New York. And when I say New York,
I mean
New York
City or Long Island.
She is in New York City. And, oh, yeah, that's what I said. And, you know, she's very, very nervous, Cindy, because she was released from her job on January 30th. And now she's in a position, you know, I believe she said that there was some severance involved. But now amidst her looking for another job and amidst her interviewing and things like that, we now have COVID-19 putting everything to a halt. So she's very, very nervous, and she's wondering when you see her getting a job and when you see her being able to you know, put that piece behind her. So,
and did you ask her if after the severance, is she entitled to unemployment? Because I certainly hope she
is. I did not ask that, but you can ask her that right now. So here we go out to Rosie in New York.
Okay.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi, okay, how are you, Cindy?
Good, and I'm so glad you called in to us because we have a million callers tonight because we, you know, and that's why I said I'm not going on vacation next week, so I'll call us next week because I just think people need to hear some positive stuff going on. Now, Rosie, after you got severance, but are you entitled to unemployment now?
I am, but I can file for that as well, but they can also submit documentation that they gave me severance. So I don't know how that's going to plan out, and this has never happened to me before, so I don't really know.
What I want you to do is get off the phone with us because you can apply for unemployment via the internet, okay?
Yes,
so
that I know for sure.
I want you to do that. And also, because of what's going on now, they may change some of the rules of unemployment for a brief period of time anyway.
Correct.
So
you
need to file right away. Now, of course, you weren't able to collect unemployment, I think, when the severance was still there. But now the severance is probably running out by now, right?
It's gone. It's run out April 30th.
Okay. All right. So probably you won't be able to collect anything until April 30th. But if I were you, I would just get it going. So that if you don't have a job by April 30th, you immediately get your unemployment.
It can kick in. Exactly.
Let's just take care of that so you have, like, breathing room. So you go, okay. All
right.
Now, I'm glad it's till April 30th because it looks like by then, and it might be a month or so before you're going to get another job. So I want that 4 weeks of unemployment, okay? I would go on, keep applying for jobs. You know, some of them may be remote jobs at this point, who knows, but keep on your job search because the world isn't coming to an end, okay? We're going to need people working.
Yes, and I agree.
I agree, and
I know I'm going to get a job. I just don't know when, Cindy. That's,
okay,
that's
remember, we're the donkey people. All we do is work. God isn't going to take us out of it. We're doing all our work all the time. We're going to be here to do our work, okay? So you're going to first just take care of the unemployment. I just want you to make sure that you have that because it's going to be glutted with unemployment. Like it's going to be halting the system pretty soon. So best you get yours just up and running because this may cause some people to be laid off, you know, because businesses will go under and stuff like that.
Right.
What kind of a job do you do? What industry are you in?
The legal industry.
Okay. That's going to go on. There's going to be a lot of bankruptcies, a lot of stuff. They're going to need you and your skills. So just keep applying. Are you looking online to different firms or places you might want to work that may not be listed on Indeed and things like that? Because oftentimes jobs aren't listed.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm dealing with recruiters that are, you know, the jobs are just between the company and the recruiter. Yes. Yeah, so both.
Good. Good. And, you know, because I do see you getting a job. I know it's, you know, this is like making you panic out. But put it this way, I think God protected you. You got severance from a job that if, you know,
you know, and you have until April 30th, and it looks to me like you don't have to be going into work right now and worrying and being in New York City. So I think God protected you, okay, to make sure you stay safe. So, you know, I know you're fearful, and I see a lot of fear in the cards, but ultimately you're getting a job. So, and right now, just consider it a blessing that you don't have to be going out to work every day. Right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
to
you
keep
think
you safe.
Like a month out, like maybe in May?
Yeah, and I'm not even saying you can't get something before that, but the point is, you know, a lot of people aren't there to, you know, a lot of work isn't existing right now. Even court cases are being, you know, put off.
Exactly. Everything's put on hold. The hiring process is on hold.
Exactly. And it can't last forever because when we start going, when we start going back, it's going to be overwhelming amounts of work to catch up on. The work doesn't stop just because,
that's
you know, we've
true.
Had the forces
that's true.
To stop, and it's just going to be backed up. And legal firms are probably going to need more help than ever, you know, just to get
that's
it
true.
Back up and running. So I would maintain the positive, you know, the positive attitude. I wouldn't stop sending out resumes or doing what you're going to do, and, you know, just keep doing it. And, you know, it looks great for you in the long run. And, you know, you it was kind of a blessing that you got out of the other job. You know that.
Yeah, totally.
Because that job would have been the death of you. You know, so
it
sometimes
was the death
God,
of me. It burnt me out. I was burnt out.
Mm-hmm. So God gave you, like, your couple of blessings. You got laid off with a severance, okay, which is great. You got laid off at a time when you wouldn't want to be in New York City working. And if you had your job, they'd probably make you go into work or would have made you go to work for a while. So it looks all good. And, again, I see a very nice job for you. So I got the Ace of Pentacles for you, getting a good job. I'm not worried about you. Again, I'm only stating to you to get the unemployment up and going so that you won't be in the clogs of some other businesses that are being laid off and all of a sudden the system's going to be, like, overloaded. So if yours is already in play and you need it for a few weeks, you know, and you and your money won't be held up, you know what I mean? It'll be ready to come just when your severance finishes. And that'll also just give you, like, a little peace of mind. You know, you're an old soul. Older souls worry about money a lot.
Yeah.
They worry about money because they don't mooch and they pay their bills. So if they think they're going to not have money, they lose sleep.
I have lost sleep. Yes.
And I don't want you losing sleep because that's not the answer. I want you to rest up because what I could see in these cards is you're what we call the donkey person. All you've done is work, and you were exhausted.
Yeah.
And so I want you to
beyond
rest.
Exhausted.
This may be the, you know, this might be the last, like, 6 weeks you have off for, like, a very long time, okay?
You're right. So, you're right, Cindy. You're right.
So I want you to get organized in your home so that when you start to work, you're organized. I want you to work out and take care of yourself and sleep and trust that this you'll get through this. But you're going to kick yourself in the ass when you get a job at the end of May and you did nothing but worry and didn't enjoy any of the downtime.
Cindy, you're right. You're right. Because all I do is if the worst fear is the fear of the unknown. And unfortunately, that's what I have. This
right,
is what
and what
I'm
trying
I'm
to tell you
right now
is, you know, the world is going to have to get up and running, and when it gets up
you're
and
right.
running,
this is not going to be forever, Cindy. No way.
And when,
it,
when we start working again, and that's why I haven't stopped working because I'm already overworked, and if I take too much time off, I'm going to be working like 18-hour days. So what's going to happen is when everybody goes back to work, their days are going to be very long and very hard and lots of overtime. Okay, and so just look at it as, okay, I've got to find my job. I'm going to stay calm. And some of the lessons is ye of little faith. Okay, so trust that you were already divinely guiding. I'm telling you, you couldn't have gotten laid off at a bad time. Who knows? Maybe you would have gotten the virus if you were working. I trust that God has watched over you and guided you, got you out of a job. Like just like our last caller that had a heart attack from staying too long in a bad relationship. You're in a bad relationship.
Yeah, I stayed too long. I should have
bad job will kill you. Right? Yeah. Would kill you. And part of it, I want you to realize you stayed too long
I
and next time,
long, Cindy.
You're not going to do
that again. No, I'll never.
Right,
that
because
shit
if,
again.
Right, and if you had left a year ago, you would have probably already been in a job, another job. So what the universe is trying to tell you is when we hear get out, move on, do it, because the universe knows something we might not know. Okay,
yes.
So and just know that you've learned something, but there's nothing, you know, that I see bad here in your cards. You know, everything looks good. I just see that you're going to have faith, enjoy your downtime, put your resumes out, and don't make yourself sick over this, okay? Because stress is like the coronavirus loves stress, okay? So we just need to do things that de-stress us. Okay, so sleep a little more. Everybody get an extra hour sleep during this. If you're working from home, sleep an extra hour and, you know, do a little workout. If you haven't been working out, you can go outside for walks. You can get YouTube videos, work out in your home, even if you can't go to the gym, you know, and just do the things that are going to, like, replenish your spirit. But I'm not worried about you, Rosie. Your cards actually look very good.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Cindy.
And again, just like our last caller, the only bad cards I see are the worry cards. You know?
Well, then there you go, girl. I'm a worry wart. That's been me since birth, unfortunately.
And that's the way older souls are control freaks. It is a form of OCD, the worry, but
it is.
Older souls are control freaks. We are the and God is giving us a lesson in this coronavirus. We're never in control of anything. It's an illusion we're in control of anything. But if we dot our I's and maintain our papers, we wash our hands, we're careful and cautious, God is usually pretty good. But it is a lesson in we are in control of nothing. Okay, so, you know, and after this, I want people, I always have an expression, if I'm not sick, I'm not in jail, and I'm not in a tsunami's way, I'm happy. And I want people to start doing that. Americans have been so miserable. Why are you miserable? Okay, so, you know, we're going to get through this, and we're going to try to have a more positive attitude after this. But, Rosie, look at it as you've been very divinely guided. And God wants you on earth and didn't want you dropping dead over at that job. And, and just know that you will get something else. Call in again and let us know how things go. But I keep getting the Ace of Pentacles. So I just promise me you won't stop looking for a job during this.
No.
Even if you're not getting responses back, you know, because people may not be in the office for a little bit or whatever. Like, just keep going as if there's not this virus on right now. Just keep sending out your stuff. Because a lot of people are just not doing it. They're not job hunting during this. So you'll have the upper hand here. You know what I mean? Other people are like, well, I'm not going to job hunt until this is over with. Nope.
No.
Don't do that.
No. It's ridiculous.
Well, thank you for sharing your
story
with us.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank
you.
I'll call back. Thank you. Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Bye. Okay, now we have Kate. Okay, and if anybody wanted to talk to us, they would have had to press 1. Okay.
Press
and,
1.
Okay, so now do I know this Kate?
You know what? I don't know if you know this Kate because I did not ask. But Kate is calling us from Long Island, and she's looking for a little bit of clarity, Cindy, because she's been single for a while now, about 3 months. And she, before that, she was in a relationship for about 2 months. So I think that Kate might be cycling a little bit here in the threes and the fives. And we don't know what's going on in that cycle there. So let's see what the cards say about Kate and her relationship status. Because she wants to know what gives.
Okay.
Hello, Kate. You are on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Kate. Now, it's funny because the coronavirus has put, like, dating and the social life out the door for a while, hasn't it?
Yes.
I don't know what God's intention in that one is here, but now, you had one guy for 3 months, and that didn't work out, and then another guy for 2 months? Is that?
Yeah, I feel like I've just been, like, for the last, like, year or two, just dating for a couple of months or a couple of weeks, and it doesn't work out. Then the next person comes along, and then it's just, like, this revolving door of just.
Okay, are you meeting them online? Are you meeting them online?
A few of them I did, and other ones I met in person, like, through other people.
Okay, that's good. But a lot of, you know, with your generation, a lot of times the relationships are only lasting 2 to 3 months, and even when they're
you feel a connection with someone. They kind of run away. They get scared. They're not ready for commitment, and which is frightening. And it looks to me like one of the guys you met, probably you felt a strong connection with and didn't know why the hell it ended. Okay, and that's what left you like, I mean, you understand, like, within the, all relationships look about the same. They look good the first month or two. It's around the 2 month mark that, you know, we're going to know it's not going to work or it's not a soulmate, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like with one of them, you were surprised when it ended because there was a very strong connection. And I could see when you met him, you felt like a recognition factor, like you've always known him. Do you remember feeling that when you met him?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you felt a very strong heart connection from the beginning, soul connection, like, wow, a mind, you like talking to him. And I could see an over-the-top chemistry, a body connection here.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the heart, soul, mind, body connection. And what I can see here is he got scared. And he's got some commitment issues. Did he just ghost you or did he say he's not ready for this or what bullshit did he give you?
We kind of just slowly started to fade a little bit.
Right. And with no explanation.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he's an otherwise nice person, by the way. Okay. He's not, I can see he's a nice guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But an otherwise nice person does something very cruel when they're a commitment phobic. They disappear, they ghost, they end a relationship without an adequate explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what threw you off guard because he's a nice guy. You know, you would expect this from a son of a bitch. But and he didn't know what to tell you. It's not like he said, look, I don't feel the chemistry. Look, I mean, you know, he didn't say anything like that. And he, to be karmically correct, he would have needed to say to you, Kate, you're the, probably the love of my life, but I'm too fucked up to do this. Okay. And he didn't have the courage to say that. And so it left you wondering, was I the only one who felt this? Did he not feel it? Did I make this up? And that puts you in a a connection of like what's going on here. Hearts don't lie, people lie. I mean, I don't want you to think your heart lied to you or his heart lied because they don't lie. Now, I'm not seeing that this is probably all the way over. Are you in your 20s or early 30s?
I'm 37.
37. Okay, so you're in the generation where the men are just not committing to women. It's frightening, by the way.
Yes.
And they're going to deprive women of motherhood. And I will tell you, God's getting really pretty fed up with this situation, okay? And, you know, you're 37 years old, and it's like a connection, a strong soulmate connection. And soulmate love isn't a choice. You didn't choose to love him. It just happened, okay? And, you know, then he decides to run. At the moment when, you're 37 years old. If you're going to keep seeing each other, it's going to lead to living together and marriage or children.
Yeah.
And it looks like that scared the hell out of him. But what the hell's the matter with these men? How old is this guy, by the way?
Same age as me.
Okay. He's not 12.
He's 37 as well. Yeah.
He's not 12 years old, okay? But can you imagine these men are running, and they have the illusion there's a million Tinderellas waiting for them. Okay, why should I commit to you? There's like 400 other Tinderellas. But once he's met a soulmate, it's not so easy to go back casually dating. That's what I hear the frustration in your voice. You don't want to date a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love, a cute guy. You don't want to date a man to fit a plan. You only want a soulmate. So now you can't even enjoy casually dating anymore because you've had
a soulmate.
I deleted
everything. I stopped completely.
Right. And so I'm hoping he's feeling the same way, which he should, because, you know, it's not so fun to date and casually date when you've lost a soulmate, the love of your life. Did you meet him through other people, this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're probably shocked what he did, too, from what I could see here.
Yeah.
Okay. They're like, what the hell now? He's a nice person. He's a good friend. You know, it's funny because people can be great friends, but that doesn't translate to always being a great lover because it's a different animal. But were they surprised that he did this to you? Because it's out of character for him. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have validation from other people. He's not a son of a bitch. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and they're shocked too. Now, he's got some issues that surface because soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. If you don't want to heal your issues in this life, have a man to fit a plan or a woman to fit a plan, a mediocre version of love. You don't have to heal many issues. If you don't want to heal anything, you want to stay in your childhood rage, take cellmate love, toxic love, because you could rage like a lunatic for the rest of your life, okay? Mm-hmm. If you, when soulmate love comes, it brings up unhealed issues. And a lot of those are childhood issues. It could be things about his parents' marriage. We always have to relive our parents' marriage, and I know your generation, a lot of the parents are divorced, and a lot of your generation runs around saying they're never going to get a divorce, so they're never getting married, okay? It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all going to be perfect parents because they're never having kids. So he doesn't even know why he ran, but do you know anything about his parents? Did you get to meet them at all, his family?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, now, commitment phobics oftentimes don't want us to meet their family. It's like something they can't do. Like, that's too much commitment for them.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know anything about them? Did anybody ever tell you about his family?
From what I've heard, they're very nice people, very normal, nice family.
Okay, good. So he shouldn't be afraid of love the way other people are, who maybe his parents have been divorced.
Yeah.
It looks more like he just has some fears of love. Now, soulmate love is terrifying for people. Part of what terrifies them is the fear of loving someone who could die on them. Like, it scares people. They'd rather have a mediocre love, because what if that person dies? Who cares? I don't even love them. They'd rather have toxic love. Who cares if they die? I might even kill them. But soulmate love scares people. It really scares them. And, you know, I'm not saying it's over. Like, he may try to contact you again. Now, when you were dating him for, like, he was the three-month guy or the 2 months?
Yeah.
The 3 months, that's what I thought.
2 months.
2 months. But now, it's funny because the 2 months to 3 months is when people start running, okay? The soulmate love is so strong the first month or two, people don't run, but by 2 to 3, they run. And I know Amanda's listening. She's one of my clients that's been through this with several soulmates in the last, you know, few years since her divorce, and it's like frightening how fast they run. And, you know, and how long have you been broken up with or not seeing him now?
I haven't spoken to him since like the second week in January, maybe.
Okay, so it's sometime around the 3 month mark of them pulling this crap, they resurface. He may try to text you and be your friend. I need you to be very firm on this. And people out there, men and women, listen to this. Do not allow these people to come and go. Like, if you were, you know, close and you're, you know, really getting closer, and then they just want to be a booty call, you could be my friend. You're not looking for a friend, and you're not looking for a booty call. And you got to tell them. It's all or nothing. I'm looking for a relationship and a future. So what's your intention in contacting me? If you're ready to have a relationship that leads to future, I'm all in. Like, don't play a game like you don't miss him, you don't care, because that's a lie. And talking to dead people is brutal, because most people regret they coulda, woulda, shoulda loved better. Nobody regrets saying they love somebody and it didn't work out, because they know it wasn't their fault. So I would want you to say, look, I'm thrilled to hear from you. I've missed you. But I'm looking for a serious relationship. And if that's what you have to offer, I'm here. But if you just want a friend or a booty call, I don't need that. You know, be honest. Yeah. Because what happens is your generation and the one above you in their 40s allowed men to come and go. And so they don't think they have to commit to women. They think they could be boyfriend, girlfriend for a while, then let's break up, and now we'll be booty call or friends. So don't allow this to get watered down. Because it does look like he's going to contact you. And I just need you to be prepared to ask him, what's your intention in contacting me? Okay. And and it's not because he doesn't care about you. I don't want you to play that game. What happens is women are getting devastated. You know, they get close to these guys. They make love. They think it's wonderful. It's the best of anything. And then the guy just, like, disappears or just can't handle it. And the woman left thinking, what did I do wrong? You know, and it's not that. It's everything is right, and he's scared. Okay.
Yeah.
And he might have had a long-term relationship in the past. Do you know about that one?
Yes, he was married, and then he was divorced and had a long-term relationship with someone.
Okay. Okay, because what I'm going to say, he was a committed commitment phobic. He married someone he didn't love all that much, and his other relationship was a mediocre version of love. He's never had a soulmate. And it's the soulmate that's scaring him. So you may be thrown off because he was married, he committed to someone once, then he had another long-term relationship. But he got a little jaded because they didn't work out. But mediocre versions of love are not supposed to last forever. They have a built-in expiration date. And so don't think, like, how could he commit to them and not me? He could commit to them because it wasn't a higher love. And people are oftentimes commit to lower levels of love. I bet you could name 1,000 bad marriages, okay? You're probably hard-pressed to find more than 5 good ones, okay?
Yeah, true.
So people stay in bad love long. They run from a higher love quite often. And it seems like he's never experienced what he felt for you. And I don't want you to start thinking, I made it up. That's what makes people crazy. When you start, and you haven't been able to forget him because, you know, you never stop loving a soulmate. You fall out of liking them, like we said to the first listener. But, you know, have you dreamed about him? Has he come into your dreams?
A few times.
Okay, now notice he's loving you like a dead man. If he were dead, he would love you by coming into your dreams. He would love you by giving you signs through music. And different signs, like there's things that you feel like I get a message from him. But that's because he's really afraid to love someone who could die on him. Do you know who died that he misses a lot? Do you know who that might be?
No, I don't.
Okay, because it looks like he has trouble with death, like dealing with people dying. And, you know, I would just hang in there a little bit. I would not contact him. Because he's a runner, and if you contact him, he'll just say, I still got her, and he's going to run. It's when you don't contact him for 3 months, he's going to start saying, oh, my God, I just want to see if I still got her. That's why I don't want him to do what commitment phobics do. Every time you're just about breaking away from them, they contact you again, whine and dine you, get you back in, and then run again.
Yeah.
So you're not going to let him run again. It's his, your choice is you're going to stay or you're going to go.
Yeah.
And you're going to stay completely. The mutual friends that you have, are they talking to him at all or seeing him?
No, it was kind of like a mutual friend's cousin's friend. It wasn't like, it was just a random way of meeting.
He doesn't look very happy here. He looks pretty miserable in the cards. He's not happy.
Okay.
So, you know, he may be distracting, maybe going on dating sites or whatever. But again, it's not fun once you've had a soulmate. So what I want you to do is like, let us know if he contacts you.
Yeah.
You're not responsible for the ending of this relationship. You would be granted another soulmate. He's responsible. And they have to give someone 3 months at least from the ending of a relationship to see what he does before they bring you another soulmate. Because what if he did decide he's ready to step up to the plate? Who are you going to choose? You're going to break the heart of a new soulmate? You know what I mean? So trust that they're just waiting to see what he does. And, you know, if you stand firm on it, because it looks like you want to be married in the future, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, and if you want to be married, you can't let men come and go as they please.
Yeah.
So, you know, be very loving about it when you say it, but, you know, you wish more than anything to be with him, but he can't come and go. It's all or nothing. You know, say it with love and not a bitch, okay? And you know what I mean? Because, you know, being a bitch isn't going to get people back.
No.
Being loving, being, you know, and tell him, you know, when he says, well, I can't do this, you're going to say, well, that's very sad because I really thought we could have a good life together. But I have to accept
that. Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not going to change you, and I'm not going to fix you. But you honestly say from your heart, because for the rest of his life, that's going to haunt him. For the rest of his life. And do us a favor and call in again because...
Yes, I will.
I think this is a very common problem, and, you know, it's sad. It's very sad. But I see that you're going to be with a soulmate sooner than later. So if it's not him, you will be granted another one.
Oh, great. Thank
so
you.
So keep us posted and call in again, please.
I will. Thank you so
and
much.
And stay healthy, please. Stay healthy. Wash
your
hands.
You too.
Don't pick your nose, okay? Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I want to try to get Amanda because we have about 6 minutes left. She's the 516-1063. I think that's Amanda, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Amanda, is that you?
It's me.
Hi, Amanda. How's my flying girl?
Hi.
She's a pilot. How's my girl?
I'm doing well.
I saw the pictures on Facebook. You look beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I feel beautiful, you know? Like, I feel beautiful just admiring how beautiful, you know, the earth is from above.
Oh, good. You're enjoying your flying. Now, you heard what I said to Kate, that you've been through this with soulmates that was perfect and then ran or did bullshit to ruin it. So, you know, it happens to a lot of women. So you called in and you must have something in your mind. What is that today?
I guess maybe along the lines of the same thing. I kind of want to, you know, I understand, like, there's a lot of chaos going on right now and, you know, whatever, whatnot. And listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm actually enjoying myself right now. I'm actually just, you know, I'm enjoying just, you know, trying to accomplish, you know, my goals that I have in mind and all this other stuff. But, you know, I would like to know if, you know, someone, you know, if there will be someone soon that I'll meet and, you know, hopefully it's a soulmate, hopefully.
Yes, and that I do see. And again, go about your life. Also, you know, you're learning to stand on your own two feet emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually without a man, which is an important step because you've been married already and, you know, needed to do that a little bit. And so standing on your own two feet is important. And
absolutely.
And I do see a guy coming, and just go about your life. You're not on the dating apps any, are you? Because, dude, like.
No. No, I've never been into that. I would never was really into that. I mean, you know, maybe I did just to see what was out there for a little while. But I mean, there's a lot of weird guys on those sites. I'm not gonna lie, and they don't really want anything. You know, they don't really want anything. You know, like serious or long term on there. They just kind of wanna, you know, they kind of wanna bang you, and that's it. You know.
Right, and well, what I see here is go about your life, you know, because you're also in your band, you know, do your band, do your flying, go to work, and, you know, love will come. And, you know, remember, a lot of times with you, I had to warn you that you ignored a lot of red flags with guys, okay? And I think you're smarter now than you used to be.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Good. 100%. And, have you rewritten what your soulmate, ideal soulmate would be like? Because I think there's different things in it now than you might have, you know, written before. Have you revamped it?
I did revamp it. I don't think I changed anything. If anything, I just added more criteria that I was looking for, you know, because, you know, like, obviously, you know, with, you know, the last one, you know, the last one that really wasn't even a relationship, I specifically wrote down, you know, I want someone who is going to, you know, I want him to commit. I want him, you know, to, you know, be proud of the woman that he's standing next to and, you know, things along those lines. You know, so, I mean, that's really what I've been looking for since day one. But, you know, I really, really made it a point to not write it just once, but I think I maybe written it, like, maybe twice or three times just on that list, just because it's so important to me. You know, I wanna be married. I want to have kids. You know, obviously, whatever my career is going to be, it's going to be, you know, which is probably going to be a pilot. I want all those things. I felt like I just really needed to be clear with exactly what I wanted. So that's what I did. And I put it in an envelope and I hid it somewhere. And I'm not quite sure where I put it. I don't remember. But, you know, hopefully the universe heard it and, you know, will give me what I truly want.
And okay. Great. Because, what I'm seeing for you is, love coming. Just be a little patient again, because remember, one of your strong suits is not patience.
No, it's not.
So we want you, okay, just be a little patient, and and you'll be surprised how, you know, different things are going to, you know, play out for you when you become patient, okay? I just need a little bit of patience from you, and love will come, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not worried about you. I just, you know, that you won't find love, because you will. But I just need you to be a little patient, okay? And it will come.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
And a good and lasting one, okay? Good and lasting.
That's what I want.
Okay, so we're going to have to get off before Blog Talk kicks us off. And we had an enormous number of callers today, so we couldn't get to everybody. And again, if some of you are my clients, you know my email, and if you emailed me and let me know you want to talk, it's easier for me to put you through them, because I know what numbers I'm looking for, okay? Because we just had way too many for us to, like, be able to even push nearly, right, Nicole, like, we knew it was going to be busy, because with everything happening, we just knew people are going to be calling in. And I did stress on my Constant Contact newsletter, that's what we're here for. And even if we can't pick up with you, I hope you're getting from us that this too shall pass, that we have to try to go on with life, even if it means just clean your closet,
have to remember
and keep your house organized, you know.
We have to remember something too, Cindy, is that you know, there's going to be, in whatever capacity that may be, there's going to be life after this. So I think that the important thing for everyone to do is not necessarily think that everything is stalled because of this. This is your time to get your ducks in order for life after this. You know, so a lot of us complain that we don't have a lot of time to do the small things. Maybe it's a project around your house. Maybe it's, like you said, cleaning out your closet. You know, maybe you don't have time to work on that book you've been meaning to write, or that picture you've been meaning to draw. Maybe you've been out of touch with friends and family, and you know what? You never have the time to give them a call. This is your time to reconnect to all the things that you have disconnected from because of work and because of the hustle and bustle of constantly go, 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 no matter where you are, whether it's New York or California or Texas or Iowa. You know, this is your time where things are slowing down for you to catch up. So do that. And, you know, if you've been meaning to go to the gym and you haven't been able to go to the gym, now that the gyms are closed, you know what? Go on to YouTube. Go start working out at home. You know, working out, you know, it decreases cortisol, which helps with your stress levels and stress. It helps with your anxiety levels. Keep yourself moving and busy, because this is going to be over. And when it's over, you need to be ready for it to be over.
Right. So don't waste the time. Okay. Anyway, my client's here, so I'm going to have to get off.
Next client is there. So go.
Okay.
And thank you for a wonderful job, Cindy.
Okay. Bye.